There's quite a well-known educated man who wants to test Jesus because Jesus is this new itinerant rabbi who's going through the country and he's speaking and attracting lots of people and lots of crowds, and people are flocking to hear him. But some of his teaching is new and some of it is different, and so this teacher of this law of law. If he can get one over on him. And so he says to Jesus, he says, let me read it so I've got the exact words. He says, teacher, he says, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, from my perspective, as a clergyman, as a vicar in the Church of England, I would love it if more people came up to me and said, Stephen, what must I do to get eternal life? And I would probably say, well, you need to believe in Jesus, and you need to understand about how God steps into the world and takes in the person of Jesus, and because the world is imperfect, it is a fallen, sinful world, but God loves us anyway, and therefore he dies upon a cross for us, and so that when we put our faith and our trust in him, we are forgiven of our sins, knowing that he has paid the penalty for all of our misdeeds. And if you believe that, then you are forgiven in the sight of the Lord. That's probably what I would say. But Jesus doesn't say anything like that. He simply says to the man, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? And the teacher of the law responds quite quickly with this phrase. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great answer, isn't it? The teacher of the law is showing that he does indeed know the law. And what he's doing here is he's quoting something which is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy, and was known by the Jews as the Shema. And this is a prayer that Jews have to say twice a day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That's part of the Shema. And if we have the next picture, please. Here we are. Here is a Jewish man. And he is a very devout man. And this is actually at the temple in Jerusalem by the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. And what can you see the man is wearing? He is wearing, and I can't ever pronounce this, so if I get the pronunciation wrong, perhaps you'll forgive me. He is wearing a phylactery. Now, a phylactery is this little box. Can you see it on his forehead? Actually, if we have the second picture, please. You'll see, this is a younger man. He's also got one of these little boxes on his head, a phylactery. But if you look carefully, you'll see he's got another one wrapped around his left elbow, because inside these little boxes are pieces of text, pieces of scripture, and the pieces of scripture in those boxes are the ones that we've just had out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and so on. And so he should have known it by heart. But he'd added another bit, which is also in that box, which is from Leviticus, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the man had come up to Jesus to test Jesus, and he was testing him in the law. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, tell me, what do you think you should do? And he quotes that well-known phrase, those verses. He's proved that he is a good teacher of law. He knows his scripture. And Jesus says, well done. He says, do this and you will live. But the man is not content with the good answer that he's given. He wants us to challenge Jesus further. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? Do you remember? He's done the love your God bit. The next bit is, and love your neighbor. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? And so instead of giving him a direct answer, Jesus tells the story. He tells the parable, which we are familiar with as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's about a man who's on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, he gets attacked by bandits, and he's robbed, and he's left lying on the floor, left for dead. We presume he's not dead, but he's left for dead. And then along the road comes a priest, a devout man, who's been worshipping in the temple, going home on the path to Jericho, and he sees the man in his plight on the floor. But does he help him? No, he doesn't. He may feel sorry for him, perhaps he does feel sorry for him, but he's just been to the temple. He's cleansed of his sins, he's purified himself, and he thinks that he's holy, and if he goes to this man, he will, according to the law, potentially become unclean, because to touch a dead body, and he may not know whether he's alive or dead, would make him unclean. So instead of helping the man, he walks on. And what he doesn't just walk on, he walks on the other side of the road. All right? You can't get any further away than that, than on the other side of the road. And he's a priest. And he knows all that stuff up in his head, that he loves the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And yet, he walks on the other side of the road. And then along comes a Levite. Well, he's not a priest, but he is an attendant of the priest. He's part of the clan which helps runs the temple worship. And he does exactly the same thing. So the two holy people, if you like, the devout people, ignore the man on the ground and they walk on the other side of the road. But then along comes another man. And this man is a Samaritan. Now, what you need to know about Samaritans is we think of this as the parable of the Good Samaritan, but in Jewish minds, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. It was a contradiction of terms because Jews and Samaritans hated one another. They'd had years and years of conflict between one another. One said you worshipped in Jerusalem, the other said you worshipped somewhere else in Samaria on Mount Gerizim. There'd been wars and conflicts about it. And every time pilgrims went from Galilee, which was in the north, through Samaria to Jerusalem, which was in the south, they ran the risk of being attacked by bandits. But this man, the Samaritan, has compassion on the man who's on the floor. And he goes to him and he tends him and he picks him up and he binds his wounds. He pours oil on them, which soothes the pain. And he puts wine on them, which cleanses them. And he puts the man, he doesn't care whether the man will make him unclean or not. He picks the man up and he puts him on his own donkey and he takes him to an inn. And he pays 2 silver coins, which is the equivalent of 2 days' wages. And he says, look after this man and care for him. And if you need any more, I will come back and I will pay the difference. What a kind, generous thing that was. And this Samaritan goes to an inn, perhaps a Jewish inn, because he's going to take a Jewish man to the Jewish inn. And he runs the risk of possibly being assumed that he was the man who did the beating up. But he doesn't. He takes the risk and he pays for the man's lodging. So then we come out of the story again, and Jesus says to the teacher of the law, he says, and who was the neighbor? Or who do you think was the man's neighbor? And the teacher of the law says, the one who showed him mercy. He can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan man. He says, the one who showed him mercy. So, this story is one which jumps over the borders of religion. It jumps over the borders of race and ethnicity. It just is one where actually goodness of heart is demonstrated generosity of spirit is shown because the man, a human being, a fellow human being, was in need. And we can learn a lot from that, can't we? Because God is a God of love and compassion, and he cares for us all deeply. Now, if it was today, what would we think? If we saw somebody in trouble, the trouble is we see so much hardship, so much conflict, so much violence on our television screens that we can sometimes become immune to it. You know, we just gloss over it. We change the channel, perhaps. Or, even worse, in our TikTok generation, we might take a photograph of it and video it and put it on the screen. Where is the compassion? Where is the love and the compassion? The Samaritan man demonstrated it. He was the man who was truly the poor man's neighbor, and he showed generosity of heart and love. And in just the same way, you may not think of this at this time, but in just the same way, us and care for us and guide us. And the person who does that most of all is God himself, who really does care for us, and he demonstrates his love for us through the kind words of neighbors and friends and family, and he slowly draws us to himself, and he encourages us to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his son, who he gives into the world, so that when we put our faith and our trust in him, we might be forgiven. His compassion reaches out to us. Now, in the world in which we live, we can't solve wars and conflicts. Of course not. It's just too big for any one of us. But we can, with tiny little acts of kindness and generosity, meet the needs of the people around us. And then we show that we love God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and